Let me see if I can find this.
It is time to cast off words, darkness.
Yes, it is. It's time again for It Is Time. Hello, this is Ed Gutfeld, and we're glad you're with us for this podcast. And we're heading into another excursion into wonderfulness of broadcasting in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hey, I want to start off this program with something so wonderful, so near and dear to our hearts, and something that's happening so beautifully. It's called Team Edify, and we'd like you to be a part of it if you haven't heard of it. And something great is happening. God's touching people's lives. And these little buttons, they're just one button, they're $1, but they touch many, many lives, so get involved. Hello, this is Ed Gutfeld, and I want to announce to you that there's a new team in town. It's Team Edify. We're running out the bullies of fear, doubt, and despair because Team Edify is taking over. This team is called to build up, strengthen, and cause to overcome. We're calling for 1 million men and women, boys and girls, to lock arms and declare the word of edification in our homes, schools, on the job, in the church, and throughout the marketplaces of the world. We are a simple yet mighty team who have made a decision that each and every day we will receive edification for our lives, bring edification to those around us, and give edification away to someone new each and every day. As a team member, you will receive our unique and colorful Edify button, a lifetime membership card, daily prayer, and access to daily edification through videos, testimonies, and social network. To join the Edify revolution, simply log on to edifyforlife.org and follow the simple steps. We live in troubled times full of deception, lies, and depression. We can make a difference bearing the glad tidings of edification. Again, the website is edifyforlife.org. Join in today. Be one in a million at edifyforlife.org. That's edifyforlife.org. Our sponsor this half hour is 2 Core 10-4. Has your mind been plagued and bombarded with the high traffic of vain imaginations? Have the thoughts and accusations from the father of lies been jamming and congesting the freeways of your mind? Do human reasonings and haughty intellectual arrogance overcrowd and clog the corridors and through ways of your thinking? Then it's time you try 2 Core 10-4. 2 Core 10-4 was first introduced by the Apostle Paul around 56 AD. 2 Core 10-4 carries the anointing of God and has been overpowering mental congestion for centuries. Known by its full name, 2 Corinthians 10-4, this passage of Spirit and Life has been eliminating stress and anxiety through its authoritative casting down power. Yes, the thoughts are cast down when the believer addresses them so in the mighty name of Jesus. When this gospel is applied, the mental traffic and congestion is cleared up and all thoughts of peace prevail. When 2 Core 10-4 is on the job, the traffic report is clear and smooth sailing. You can find 2 Core 10-4 in the New Testament in the book of 2 Corinthians, right after 1 Corinthians and just before Galatians. 2 Core 10-4, a spiritual weapon to fight and beat the mental traffic jam. Apply it today and be at peace in moments.
The pages said meet you at the information counter.
Yeah, well,
I'm sorry, I didn't realize.
That's okay, that's okay. If we hurry, we can make it.
Oh, you made it just in time. That's right. You're just in time because it's time for the reign of God. This is Steve Mitchinson, one of my favorite songs. Get up and shout. It's time to reign with God.
It's time for the reign of God. It's time for your light to shine. It's time for the kingdom of our God to be revealed. It's time for authority. It's time for your majesty. It's time for the kingdom of our God to be revealed. In these days of war,
up a prayer of faith. We proclaim the mighty word of God, the power in your name. So we gather in the spirit, we lift up a prayer of faith. We proclaim the mighty word of God, the power in your name. The power in your name. It's time.
Get enough of that song. It's time for the reign of God. Hallelujah. This is Ed Gutfeld. I'm glad you're with us. It is time. It is a timely message in the times of the Gentiles for the times and seasons of our life. Never tire saying that because it is. It truly is time. And there's something happening right now in the world, all over the world, as much as we're hearing of bad reports and bad news and the Dow Jones and the stock market and food prices and all these crazy things and trouble in the Middle East. When has there not been trouble in the Middle East? And the point is that there is an escalation of trouble. Jesus said, perilous times shall come. The Apostle Paul said, perilous times shall come. And we're living in perilous times. But we are to lift up our heads and lift up our eyes and look to the mountains from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the name of the Lord. And ever since the day of resurrection, ever since Easter and the feast day of first fruits, there has been an explosion of God's power. And the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out, there's always been something greater going on in the kingdom of God than there's ever been in the world. The things come and they go. The people come and they go. Messages come and they go. Fads come and they go. And even troubles come and they go. But there's one thing that remains, and that's God's word. So we say it's time. Hallelujah. And if you're on the right side of time, then you're redeeming it. You're buying it back. And you're on the white horse with a white hat with the good news of the gospel, and you're proclaiming something so powerful and so wonderful, and that's why we can rejoice in this very day, in this very hour. And I was thinking about, just before this broadcast, the presence of the Lord. That whole thought, the presence of the Lord, is a powerful thought. And, you know, they came to Jesus. They tried to test him all the time, you know, and so they came to him and they demanded, he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. You know, they were trying to get him to, you know, he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll tear it down. Can you imagine? The Pharisees thought Jesus was going to just go over there and just tear down this temple with his bare hands, you know. But he said, you destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And that made them mad. They were filled with indignation, and Jesus, of course, was talking about his own body. But they said, when's the kingdom of God coming? And Jesus said this, let me tell you something. I just want you to know that the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Neither say they lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, or more literally, it's among you. The kingdom of God has come. We are living in the days of the kingdom of God. And that's amazing, because people are trying to go places and be places and do all these things to, you know, have God's presence in their life. They sit in positions, lotus positions, and they and they eat proper foods and they drink proper drinks and all these things that will stimulate their spirituality. When the Bible said the just shall live by faith, that's exactly true. You know, ever since Jesus rose from the dead, there's been a new order. The kingdom of God has been poured out. It's in our midst. Christ is risen from the dead, and he brought the kingdom of God, ushered it in. And so all we need to do is lift up our hands in faith and receive and say, Jesus, reign in me. I confess you. Christ is risen. This is Matt Maher.
Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame. We fix our eyes upon the cross and run to
Maher, and Christ is risen. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords, and He is risen, and He's in our presence, and we're in His presence. And that's so beautiful, because when God is present, something is also present. Hallelujah. And that's His Holy Spirit. And when His Spirit is present, it is amazing what happens, the change, the transformation that goes on in people's hearts when God is present. It's not just like some visitor came over. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's amazing when God begins to do some things in people's hearts. And God is able to absolutely revolutionize the way we think about everything. And I was thinking about this just a moment ago, when Jesus arose from supper and He laid aside His garments, He took a towel and He girded Himself and He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel. And Peter said, "Lord, do You wash my feet?" And Jesus said, "What I do, you know not now." You don't know what I'm doing now, but you shall know hereafter. Peter said, "You shall never wash my feet, Lord." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you have no part of me." When the Lord's present, you see, we try to figure it all out. And we try to, you know, people try to do this with spiritual things. They try to figure everything out. And if a person appears to be holy and a person appears to be this certain way, we sort of say, well, that person must have God and must have some power or whatever. And there's a guy that didn't speak for a long time, and people think just because he didn't speak, he's holy. Well, you don't even know if that is even the truth. But it's true. The Bible said if you hold your peace, even a fool's counted as wise. But the point is, you know, that's not how you do the whole use. Measure the whole spiritual gamut of somebody's life. So Peter's trying to figure this out. He says, "No, you'll never wash my feet, Lord." And he says, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. And then Simon Peter said, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." That's John 13. And it's amazing because that happened because the presence of the Lord was there. When Jesus was there, you know, Peter was out fishing before. He would never have let somebody wash his feet, and he didn't feel he needed it. And even with the Lord, he argued with Him. But the Lord said, "If I don't wash your feet, if you don't get a cleansing from me, you're not going to be clean. You can try to get clean all kinds of ways, but it's not going to change your life." And so we need to understand that God is here in His presence to change us. And if Jesus was here, He wouldn't have you go to some mountain and pray for 6 hours. And He wouldn't have you do all kinds of spiritual exercises and eat these foods to become holy. You may change your diet to be healthy. That's great. But to do it to be holy, that's wrong. And so all of these things, we need to go ahead and put these away. Why? Because He's here. That's this whole subject of this whole broadcast is the presence of the Lord. And when the Lord is present, oh, the kingdom of God is here. It doesn't come with observation. It comes, hallelujah, at because of faith. The coins in the kingdom of God are your words. And the word that you need is the word that God has. So we're full of words. We can say all kinds of stuff. But what we need is what God said. And when we take what God said and we put it in our heart and we put it in our mouth, suddenly the kingdom of God shows up because it's here with Jesus. And so God is in the house. I want you to know something, that God is in the house. He's changed the economy of everything. And when you are absolutely in a heart of understanding that God is in the house, He's here and there's no doubt, then you can rejoice and know that the kingdom of God is here, not with just observation, but in power and in demonstration. Yeah, this is kind of a lively song. This is Hillsong. It's called God is in the House. Thank God He's here. Reach up and receive right now. I'm so convinced. as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's right. God is in the house. He's in the house because he's here. And he's not off somewhere playing golf. He's here. He's in our he's in the presence of our praises. When we worship him and praise him, God, the Bible said, inhabits the praises of his people. He's present. That's exactly true. And we thank God for it. He is in the house. Hallelujah. We're talking about the presence of the Lord. Now, there's a scripture that came to mind as we were listening to that song. It's found in Luke chapter 7. It says, "Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat or to eat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it," you know, they invited Jesus over and they got a little upset. You know, "We invite you over for dinner, Jesus, but here comes somebody else." And so they got a little upset and spoke within themselves, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." You know, they're just sitting there and grinding their teeth. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say to you." And he said, "Master, say on." He says, "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them would love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "You have rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "You see this woman? I entered into the house, and you gave me no water for my feet." You know, they walked with sandals in in those days. They didn't have paved roads. So the dirt, you know, your feet would get very, much like driving your car. Your car gets full of dust and stuff and dirt, and you wash your car. Well, back then they washed their feet. "You gave no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss." And that was just a greeting in the Middle East. "You gave me no kiss, but this woman from the time I came in has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said unto her, your sins are forgiven. And they began to, that sat at meat, the people at the table, began to say within themselves, who is this that forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved thee. Go in peace." You see, there are three characteristics of the kingdom of God. There's righteousness, there's peace, and there's joy in the Holy Spirit. And the righteousness and peace came to this woman just simultaneously. And Jesus spoke a word to her of forgiveness, and suddenly the kingdom of God came into her life. Hallelujah. And he said, "Go in peace. Your sins have been forgiven." But see, Jesus showed up. He changed the atmosphere. This woman would never have been allowed in that house. This woman never would have been accepted by the religious leaders. And she was a sinner. But you know what? We all have had sin. And God says the same thing to us. The kingdom of God is here. The presence of God is here. And the presence of the Lord came. And guess what? It changed that whole house from some self-religious, self-righteous, self-puffed up place of arrogance to a place of ministry. And that's what the presence of God does. The presence of God wants to come into your house and turn it into a citadel of praise. Oh, we love the presence of the Lord. We need the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is so wonderful. It's something that is, it is one of the signs that the kingdom of God is in the midst. The presence of the Lord. Sean Foyt wrote a song called "How I Love Your Presence." It's amazing the number of things that will happen to your children, to your marriage, to your future, because you begin to embrace the presence of God and you just begin to soak it up just like this woman did. She soaked up the presence of God. She got everything Jesus had to offer that day. You need to reach out right now and get everything Jesus is offering and say, I love. Yes, I love your presence. Come on, reach out right now.
How I love your presence. Jesus, how I love. I thirst for you alone. How I love your presence.
soak in the presence of God and let it just saturate your heart. Let it saturate your mind. Let it saturate your personality. Let God's personality just affect your heart. And you begin to take on the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, meekness, temperance, faithfulness. Oh, there's no law against the things of the fruit of the Spirit. And that's why just waiting in His presence is so beautiful sometimes. We call it soaking. And you just soak in His presence. It's just necessary. This life is so fast. It's so furious. There's so much going on so quickly, so rapidly. You could hardly, oh, that song's too long and slow. People get to be like that. Instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to take some time to just worship God. I'm just going to soak in His presence and let Him have His way. Hallelujah to God. And there's some things that we fight that when we soak in the presence of God, and we just stand with our hands lifted up or just lay out on our, what we call lay out before the Lord, and just with yourself prostrate before God and just take time. And suddenly you begin to see things in the proper light. You begin to see things as God sees them. And He says, hey, you know, why are you in such a hurry? Where are you going? Why is it that you have no patience? And let me give it to you. Patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And you have it. We're just so much in a hurry, we don't let it work. The Bible said, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be entire, wanting nothing. Why are we so wanting? Because we don't have patience. Why do we don't have patience? Because we're not waiting on God. And He said, let patience have her perfect work. She's there. Oh, yeah. He said, in the book of James, you know, he says, you guys get in so many fights and wars. Why do you do that? Because your desires are all wrong. And you desire to have you can't have because your desires are all wrong. You desire things, you can't have them. And this causes strife and rebellion and all kinds of craziness in our life. And that's why there's wars, and that's why we have fightings among us. And this is the wrong kind of wisdom to operate in. The Bible says that the trying of our faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So when patience is going to work, we're complete, we're entire, and we lack nothing. And so we need to do this, especially in our homes and in our churches, when we're working with so many people, and on the job, you're working with people, and personalities rub against each other, as it were. But there is something beautiful that God provides. It's His presence, and in His presence, there's power, there's fullness of joy, and at the right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is the Newsboys with the song called Presence, My Heart's Desire.
Thank you.
That's the Newsboys with a song called Presence, My Heart's Desire. And what a powerful song that is. You know, the presence of the Lord is many things. It does many things. As we read about the woman with the alabaster box of ointment, it changed her life completely. And that's what happens. You know, religion doesn't change people. And I know this is why people go seeking things. Sometimes they've tried Christian churches that really the presence of God wasn't there. And they go, you know, other people are waiting on their false gods and their false ways in sometimes more dedicated fashion. And that doesn't make it right. You know, you can eat the wrong thing dedicated to your life, and it's the wrong thing is the wrong thing. And you can dig a hole in the wrong direction, and you can be in the wrong direction. It doesn't mean your effort to dig the hole is counted for anything if it's the wrong direction. And so it is important that we have truth, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So, you know, but the presence of God also, it says that the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. It's not in rules and regulations. It's not in these outward things, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We talked a little bit about peace earlier and how the peace of God just came into that woman's heart immediately when the Lord forgave her and said, go in peace. But there's also another aspect to the presence of God, and that's righteousness. Righteousness is amazing. Righteousness is not just being morally upright. It is. It'll produce moral uprightness. But righteousness is a right standing with God. It's knowing that whatever was between God and I has now been removed by God himself. He took it away. He's the ruler. He's the judge. And he is the plumb line, if you will, of all that is true and righteous. It could be righteous in my eyes, but it doesn't make it righteous in God's eyes. But when God declares you righteous by the blood of Jesus, this is what paid the price, and he says, you're now righteous, then you live in a righteousness environment, a righteous environment. And you begin to walk in righteousness. And how do you do that? But by walking in the presence of God. And God says, oh, is that voice over there? That's not me talking. And you could police that voice out of your way and say, in the name of Jesus, you get out of here. And you begin to do things, and God gives you discerning of spirits. And you say, okay, that guy, he's got a wrong spirit there. Don't sign that contract with him. He's got a wrong spirit. He's going to take from you. And you go, okay. See, righteousness begins to be a part of your life. And you begin to have strength where you couldn't make those decisions before, and you didn't have foresight. The Holy Spirit helps you have that righteousness. There's a song by David Ingalls called Living in the Presence of Jesus. And I like this. He talks about problems knocking at our door, but, you know, they have the nerve to pick on me. Are you kidding me? I've been chosen of God. This is God's house now. And so I'm living in the presence of Jesus. I'm not just some bum sitting on the sidewalk and living in some broken down shanty. No, this is the house of God. Are you kidding me? This is the presence of the Lord. So yeah, this is a song by David Ingalls. It's called Living in the Presence of Jesus. Amen.
Problems knock at every door. They even have the nerve to call on me. Think about it. Satan with his bag of tricks keeps on trying to put the shuck on me. Sometimes I have to laugh at him. Thank God I'm gaining knowledge of the Word. I've discovered he's all mouth, a lying, cheating, thieving, dirty bird. I'm living in the presence of Jesus. Living in the presence of my King and the Lord of all. Living in the presence of Jesus, the Redeemer and the Savior who redeemed me from the fall. Satan like a roaring lion recognition look so fine. My titles only go so far, and I found out a dime ain't worth a dime. Satan's got one main ambition, trying every way to cut me down. But in Christ I am a winner, and I don't have to get down with that clown. I'm living in the presence of Jesus, living in the presence of my King and the Lord of all. Living in the presence of Jesus, the Redeemer and the Savior who redeemed me from the fall. Satan, like a roaring lion, is walking round looking for a subject. Living in the presence of Jesus,
Jesus,
living in the Word, and I'm full of faith and power. I'm living in the presence of Jesus, living in the Word, and I'm full of faith and power.
Yeah, it's called Living in the Presence of Jesus, David Ingalls, and that lets you know that there is something far greater than just having Jesus as a doorstep or having Jesus as a little statue on your car, you know, driving for Jesus, you know. Jesus is King. He's Lord. He's amazing. And when he's there, he wants to be all there. And when he is there, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah that has prevailed. And that's amazing, because that is where the kingdom of God begins to rule and reign in our lives. And the kingdom of God is not with observation, but it's without observation. Hallelujah. There's that power, that manifested power of his word. When it comes out of a believer's mouth and out of their heart, suddenly the kingdom of God comes into order. And everything that's out of order gets changed and rearranged, and the glory of God shows up. And that's why it's so important to have the presence of Jesus. Hey, our sponsor this half hour is...
No, honey, I agree. We should be seeking eternal answers about life. But the question is, where? I mean, no way am I going to some online do-it-yourself guru or some $600 a weekend, you're all God's crackpot. Isn't that right, little buddy? Yeah, I'm not looking for some hyped-up, frenzy-based super church either. Tell me where I can get some truthful answers with honesty and purity. I'll be there today. The whole family. And that means you too, little guy.
Yeah, talk to Jesus. He's been leading people into the truth and life for 2,000 years. It's his book, the Bible. Has all his simple truths that bring families together for a safe, simple, and secure eternal life. Talk to Jesus. He's the way.
Hey, Greg, check this out. If I rub these two sticks together, I could get fire. Look at this. Whoa, wow.
Hey, man, that's pretty cool. But if I lift these two hands up, I get the Holy Ghost and fire.
It is time to cast off words and darkness.
Yeah, we're back again, and it is time. And it's been time the whole time. That's an interesting thought all on its own, isn't it? It's been time the whole time. And we're thankful for God, because we can get back to the heart of worship. We've been talking about living in the presence of Jesus, the presence of the Lord. And that's what God brings us back to, is a heart of worship. When you get around God, you just look at the book of Revelation. When you get around God, you get around heaven, worship is a way of life. It begins to take over everything. And that's what we want to do right now, in the name of Jesus.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're to my heart, yeah. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all
Matt Maher in the heart of worship. It's all about Jesus. And when the presence of God shows up, you realize who the King is, who the Lord is, who the Master is. The Master of the house is here. Amen. Glory to God. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to somebody's house and the owner was not there. And it's kind of a funny feeling, because I've been invited to people's houses that They were watching somebody's house, and there was a certain element of freedom and whatever involved, but you almost forget that that's not their house, and suddenly something happens that makes it apparent that that is not their house. It belongs to the real owner. And when Jesus comes back to the earth, people are going to understand that this place belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we walk around like kings and queens and owners and all this sort of stuff. when really God owns it all. And what an amazing truth that comes to us. And this song says, let's go back to the heart of worship. Let's just go back to where, you know, where God said that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And so we go back to the beginning and realize that we're stewards of God's handiwork. And we're stewards of his gifts and his impartations. But praise God, there's a way to live that way that's full of life, full of vitality, full of strength. The kingdom of God, as we've been saying again and again, Luke 17:21, doesn't come with observation. It's on the inside. Kingdom of God is within you. And it's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we haven't talked about joy in the Holy Spirit. We can't finish this without talking about joy in the Holy Ghost. No, joy in the Holy Spirit is something that comes from heaven, inspired by God, and it doesn't need any circumstances to qualify. All it needs is that divine presence from heaven on the inside, and you got the joy of the Lord in your life. And that's why this song to me is so, so wonderful. It's one of the best songs I've ever heard on the Holy Spirit. But you can't sit down, you can't fold your hands and look like that you've been baptized in vinegar. You got to stand up, give God the praise, and begin to shout a little bit, because we got love, joy, peace and power, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Somebody get excited. The presence of God is here. Yeah, joy in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, it's Hillsong. That song's called Joy in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's awesome. In the name of Jesus. All right. Hey, we're getting ready to close up here. We got Limit X in the background telling us it's time to go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's right. It's time to keep shouting the victory. Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on, somebody's got to tell it.
Go tell it on the mountain, of the hills and everywhere. Bum.
It's time.
Bum, bum.
Yeah,
come
it's
on,
time.
Go tell it on the mountain, yeah, that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That's right. It's time to keep telling it and keep shouting the victory. Tell somebody. You got to keep telling it. It's time to rise up and declare the greatness of our God. Isn't that right? It's time to declare that He is Lord, that He is here. His presence is here. Yeah, this is Ed Gutfeld. Till next time, don't put it off, because it is time.